This evening, I'd like to just share from my heart this topic that comes out of Romans chapter 8. The Lord has been really urging me on in this matter of prayer in regard to the fact of praying through to the victory. There is so much that God wants to see accomplished. But the only way it's going to be accomplished is by faith, and that is normally exercised first and foremost in prayer. Getting to a place in which you get onto the ground of faith, for that matter specifically, you know God has led you to pray, and you pray that through till you know you have the victory. And then it's just a matter of the spiritual battle until that matter is accomplished by the grace of God. So much of what we have in our lives that are problems do not need to be there, or situations around us that are not where they should be could be vastly different if we would pray. Our country could be different. Our community could be different. Our families could be different if we would pray. Now, we all know this. This is not something I am bringing up that is a new subject. And I think we all have a deep urgency in our souls to see God work through prayer. But the question is, why don't we? Oh, yes, we have some good times of prayer. But I'm talking about getting a hold of the throne, especially in intercession, until the Spirit of God is able to work the heart of Christ in our heart, and we come to a clear understanding of what God wants to do, and we see by His power that barrier broken through, and God begins to do things that are really miraculous. And so we all want to see that happen, but why don't we? Well, Romans chapter 8, I'm going to give you something very profound tonight, comes after chapters 6 and 7. Okay. Did you write that down? I mean, that was very important. Actually, it is very important. Chapter 6, we spent quite a bit of time looking at the wonderful reality, hallelujah, we're dead to sin and alive to Christ. Sin does not have to have dominion over us. We spent a number of Sundays on that chapter. And then in Romans chapter 7, when we depend upon the law and don't understand we're dead to that because the law is in us and we are married to Christ, we can fall into the trap of being discouraged because, frankly, when we try to keep the law through our own human strength, what happens? We fail every time. Oh, wretched man that I am. Then, of course, we took quite a bit of time in between looking at every member ministry. But I did want to take some of the highlights out of Romans chapter 8 that speak of the great victory that we do have in Christ. There's no condemnation, aren't you glad? There's no bondage because of the victory of Christ. And we can be spiritually alive. As we talked about last week, we can become grown-up children of God, mature children of God. But I want to look at a precious passage here that's key to this matter of victory and obtaining all that Christ has accomplished, and it's all about prayer. These are familiar verses, but I'd like us to take a good, hard, long look at them tonight. One old divine from years ago said, when thou feelest most indisposed to pray, yield not to it, but strive and endeavor to pray even when thou thinkest thou canst not pray. Okay, got that old English there. But have you ever thought that you cannot pray? Have you ever been disposed not to pray? Absolutely, if you're honest. Have you ever struggled when it comes to pray? Another person said, pray when you feel like it, for it is a sin to neglect such an opportunity. Pray when you don't feel like it, for it's dangerous to remain in such a condition. But here's what oftentimes what happens. We hear the great stories of intercession and God doing miracles. Just in the last couple of days, in preparation for this, I read a number of wonderful stories of how people, God worked in their hearts and they prayed through until they saw the victory. And it's pretty amazing. Can't help but think of the circle in England that got into deep intercessory prayer for James Frazier. An entire people group came to Christ in an impossible situation. I think of the story that is so touching about Hudson Taylor. Let me just read his words here. On a day I shall never forget, recalled Hudson Taylor, the famous missionary, he said, when I was about 15 years of age, because my mother was absent from home, I had a holiday and in the afternoon looked through my father's library to find some book with which to while away the hours. I turned over a basket of pamphlets and selected from among them a gospel tract which looked interesting. I sat down to read the little book in an utterly unconcerned state of mind. Little did I know at the time what was going in the heart of my mother 80 miles away. She rose from dinner with an intense yearning for the conversion of her boy. And she went to her room, turned the key in the door, resolved not to leave until her prayers were answered. Hour after hour, she did plead for me, until at length she was constrained to praise God for that which His Spirit taught her had been accomplished. In the meantime, I had taken up this little track and while reading was struck with the sentence, the finished work of Christ. The thought passed through my mind, why does the author use that expression? Immediately, the words, it is finished, came to mind. What was finished, I replied. A full and perfect pardon and atonement for sin. Christ died for our sins. As light flashed into my soul by the Spirit, there was nothing to be done but to fall on one's knees and accepting this Savior and His salvation, to praise Him forever. When Mother came home a fortnight later, I was the first to meet her at the door to tell her I had glad news. I could almost feel her arms around my neck as she said, I know, my boy, I've been rejoicing for a fortnight. Folks, that's the kind of prayer we should be entering into. Don't you love those stories? We know they're real. But why don't we? Because that's humanly impossible. And we need to understand that. In fact, I think sometimes when we read those kinds of stories of great intercession, seasons of prayer, breaking through and revival begins to happen, miraculous answers to prayer, we can easily get discouraged because we think, I just don't know how I could be part of that. My heart yearns for it. I agree with it. I know it's real. I see it throughout the Word of God. But why do I struggle with that? Well, tonight in the two verses we're going to look at, I think we find the key. And it's a basic biblical principle, but it's one when it comes to prayer, for some reason we just don't get it in regard to that. So look with me, if you would, please, at verses 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. This is going to be a good news set of verses here. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, folks, those two verses are hallelujah verses. They really are. We faint in our humanity when we think of spending time and letting God begin to touch our hearts and to exercise faith and to wait upon Him and to continue on in prayer. We know that that's the right thing. And yet it's so often difficult to do. We can chalk it off to our busy modern world in which we live. We can look at many other excuses. But I believe that the major thing that is the problem for every one of us is that we forget that prayer is a miraculous work of God in our lives. Yes, we pray. It's our will that determines to pray. It is our continuing to look to the Lord, but it is the Spirit of God that does for us what we naturally cannot do in prayer. I can tell you that mother praying for her son, she yielded herself to the Spirit. She got on her face before God. The Spirit of God gave her strength that she did not have. God gave her that passion, and God, the Holy Spirit knew this was a key time in Hudson Taylor's life. And the Spirit, since she was a yielded woman and dependent on the Spirit, that was a time in which God did a miracle in her life. Therefore, there was a miracle in Hudson Taylor's life. It's an amazing thing to be on the receiving end of that kind of prayer. I've given often the testimony, and I won't give it in any length, but when I was struggling as a 15-year-old, the move to Chicago was very difficult from Colorado, and the youth group there was a real pressure. And my grandmother, way down in Miami, we were in Chicago, got really burdened. And she was convinced that I was supposed to go on a 3-week trip to Europe and to Israel that my parents were planning. It was an impossibility. My parents didn't have the means to do it. It was only a little bit of time away. It wasn't even able to be logistically worked out. But my grandmother said, God's got a hold of my heart on this. And she said, I'm not quitting until I get a victory. And Dad kept saying, Mom, this is impossible, you know, don't. And she said, nothing's impossible with God. You never told my grandmother anything was impossible. That was like sick him to a bulldog, you know. And she said that to me so many times. But I am so deeply grateful. I can just see her in that chair there in that little house down in Miami pleading with God. Oh, she'd cry out. She would just stay there hours. She called up my dad some days later and said, I got it. God's going to give the victory. It's done. And my dad, he knew that God answered her prayers, but he was in an absolutely impossible situation. Now we're just 2 days away or something like that. It wasn't long. And yet down deep, he knew that God was going to do something. And the long story short on that is that one of the men that was going on the trip, his wife became really ill, and he said, I can't leave. And he had connections there in Chicago, got the airline to change the ticket. And I was able to facilitate a passport quickly, and that wasn't done in those days. And within a couple of days, I was on my way to Holland, the Netherlands of all things. And it was on that trip God dealt with me. Hello, folks, listen. Prayer makes all the difference. There's a lot of people that need what happened to me. There's a lot of Christians that need somebody that, I mean, doesn't just pray, but lets the Spirit of God bring us to the place in which we understand what He wants to do. We are in conformity to His will, and He brings us to a place of convincement. And what a difference that makes in somebody's life. And of course, especially if they need the Lord. Now, as I say these things, again, I'm just being down to earth here tonight. We all agree. We all say that's wonderful. Wonderful. But then, what about us? Well, let's look at these verses for just a few minutes tonight. Number one, the Spirit knows our needs. I've just been talking about our needs, right? If I was to say, if you are not praying as you know you ought to pray, I want you to come down here and kneel at the altar. We would have no one sitting probably, maybe a few, but we'd have very few sitting in the seats, right? We could have quite an invitation. People could think I was quite a preacher. I only spoke for about five sentences, you know. Come on down if you're not praying like you should. So we know our needs. But you see, God operates on the basis of our will and faith, exercising faith in His Word. And so He has provided what is needed to solve the problem that we have in doing something that is not natural. Do you know, in our humanity, we want to do something. Prayer, secret prayer, continuing on, that this goes contrary to human thinking. And when you start wrestling for someone's soul, that takes selflessness. That's impossible. There's a lot of things that come into play when we get down to serious prayer. So believers are helpless without the Spirit. Let's go back again to verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. We're unable to do anything, say anything that pleases God. Right? Let me read. We quote from John 15:4, the great abiding chapter, very often. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Do you believe that? Do you believe you can do a little something that pleases God? Theologically, you would say no. Practically, our hearts are deceitful, and we actually think we can do okay. We depend on ourselves far more. We are not desperate for the power and enabling grace of God. We do an awful lot of good things that aren't going to last for eternity. And we get into the habit of that. And so we need to understand that without the Spirit of God, our infirmity, our weaknesses, our inabilities cannot be overcome. A.J. Gordon, the famous Boston preacher, said, again, they were to be full of the Spirit, that is, full of the realization of Christian power and purpose. He was speaking of the Spirit-filled life and those that were going to serve the Lord. The only way they could do it is to be full of the power of the Spirit of God. The famous illustration of A.J. Gordon that really helped him, he went to the World's Fair in Chicago, and in the distance he saw a man in a big Oriental costume and just working hard, cranking a pump, and a mighty flow of water was coming out of that pump. And Gordon was very impressed with the man's energy, his smooth motions and his obvious physical conditioning. He was pumping a lot of water. He got closer, though. He was surprised to discover that the man was actually made of wood. Instead of turning the crank and making the water flow, the flow of the water coming up was actually turning the crank and thereby making the man go, the wood go. And that's the way it is. If we think we're making it happen, it has got to come out of our innermost being, rivers of living water. Folks, the Spirit of God who is in you is more powerful than I can even begin to describe. The Trinity was all involved in creation. And when you look at the enormous power that is very much exemplified and exhibited in the universe, when you think of the power, I mean, just as I mentioned this morning, the awful flood in Texas there in the Guadalupe River, you see just the ocean waves crashing, the solar flares and what they do, and on we could go. The Holy Spirit created all that, and He's in you. And so He is able to do for us what we cannot do. We don't have the heart of Christ. Oh, we can get sympathetic with people, but we don't have a broken heart for people. We don't have the strength or the ability to pray as we ought. And haven't you felt that keenly at times? You know, I remember when God got a hold of my heart as a teenager, I decided, my friend and I, we were going to fast all night. We had some great plans of what God was going to do for us, you know. And so we're praying and praying and praying. I hate to say it, it wasn't very deep prayers. And we prayed and prayed and fasted through the night and through the day. And about, I don't remember when it was, midway through the afternoon, we both got so hungry we had to go get hamburgers. I mean, you know, it was, and I thought, what have we gained from this? You know, we thought we were so spiritual. I just remember being very embarrassed that it wasn't God's problem. I mean, we were pumping the water ourselves and had to learn what it meant for the Spirit. Now, God, by the way, when you want to pray like that, He will start working in your heart, even when you have to learn. But so we got onto some other things. I remember Pastor Van, when he was in the fifth grade, he got really stirred in a revival meeting, and he was just excited about getting his class together to pray during recess. To get boys to miss recess is a miracle. And so it happened for a few times as he led a prayer meeting and all, and they had some prayer. But he said, after a while, recess call just came too strongly. And again, but you know, did you think God honored that desire? Sure, He did. But folks, we desperately need the Spirit of the living God. Romans 7:18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. So the Spirit of God knows our weakness. Says it right here. Folks, that's good news. I quote that every day, every day. Spirit knoweth, also helpeth our infirmities. And we're helpless to pray without the Spirit. And folks, that is why it is so vital that we do spend time with the Lord and that we yield to Him and that we allow the Word of God to continue to change our lives and that we're conscious of an abiding relationship with Him all the time. Because prayer comes out of an abiding relationship because it is the work of the Spirit that causes it to occur. So believers are helpless to pray without the Spirit. We don't have understanding. Think about, as you've grown in the Lord, has there been a lot of more and more understanding about prayer as you've grown? I think about, I laugh about when I was a teenager. I'm glad I had the heart to do it, but I've learned so much since that time. And we're constantly learning, and the Spirit of God will do that. Jude 20, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. We pray through the power of the Holy Ghost, and what will happen? You will be built up in your faith. You will increase in your understanding. And so the word help here is like like many long Greek words. It is put together from a few shorter ones, in this case, three. The first is soon. It means with, along with, or together with. The second is ante. It means for or in the place of. The main word is lambano. It means to take hold of, remove, or bear. Altogether, the word refers to a person coming alongside another to take part of a heavy load and help them bear it. So He doesn't just help us a little bit. He's carrying the load of our prayer. Praying in the Spirit. And so God has given us the Spirit of God within us to teach us, direct us, illumine us, and to come along and bear the burden of prayer. You've read probably many biographies about folks like a praying Hyde who came under such a burden for people that he thought he was going to die. The Spirit of God was there bearing that burden. For what the Spirit of God puts in our hearts, He gives us the grace to be able to handle it. And so this kind of prayer is through the enabling power of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, the Spirit intercedes on the behalf of our needs. Like verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Not only is He enabling us to pray, when our hearts are open to Him, He's praying for us. He is praying on our behalf. And I tell you, folks, when our hearts are open to the Lord, you can be guaranteed the Spirit of God is crying out to the Father. And He is praying, knowing our lack of understanding. He is working in us in communicating to the Father on the basis of what Christ has done. He is doing. He is praying for us for the strength and to give us the understanding that we need. Prayer is a mystery to a lot of people, and that's why they don't pray also. You see, God answers prayer, but God has to work in our hearts, and we begin to learn His voice. We begin to understand what the Word of God is saying about the issues for which we're praying and what it means to take the ground that God wants us to take. And the Spirit of God is helping us know what we should pray for. I've told you many times, I love the corporate prayer meetings because I can hear the voice of the Spirit and other believers who are praying. God unites our hearts. And when we know that's the Spirit who is praying through people, folks, we're going to have an answer. We will have an answer. God the Father answers the prayer of God the Spirit through His people. We are the body of Christ, and we have that kind of power. This is what I'm so burdened about, folks. To get a hold of this is the key to seeing God do what He desires to do and what He deserves to have done. So the Spirit of God prays for us. He guides us in our prayers. He enables us. The Spirit enables us. Strengthens us, Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all what? Perseverance. There it is, that long-term prayer, sticking with it, praying through, all perseverance and supplication for all saints. What kind of prayer is it? In the Spirit. I can tell you, before you see some of the greatest victories in prayer, you don't feel like it at all. I mean, you're weak. It's a struggle. Satan will battle. There's much, our humanity becomes so obvious. But it's in those times that God begins to change our thinking, bring the Word of God to light, begins to strengthen spiritually. That's what fasting is so good to bring about. We don't depend on how we feel. It's a spiritual reality that God begins to convince and work and to give us a heart that is obviously a miracle. It is supernatural. And the Spirit will enable us to be able to keep on persevering until we get a real answer from the Lord. He's the one that gives the heart. He's the one that gives the desire. And then I love this. The Spirit enters into our need. For we know not what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself for Himself maketh intercession for us. I mean, He's praying. You know, you need to stop sometime. You're praying and you're thinking, you know, the Spirit's praying. This is amazing. The Lord hears my voice, but the Holy Spirit's praying. And the Lord Jesus ever liveth to make intercession. I am surrounded by the Trinity. And as God brings my heart into His heart, I'm at the most powerful place in all the universe. But my humanity is so weak. I can hardly contain that reality. But the Spirit of God continues if we will continue to trust Him. He gives us the strength to persevere and with groanings which cannot be uttered. This is only used here in Acts 7:34. In Acts 7:34, I have seen the affliction of my people which is in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning and am come down to deliver them, and now I will send thee into Egypt. He actually personally bears. We see that with the Lord Jesus. He wept, of course. We talk about the compassion that He had, how He prayed and great drops of blood came from him. He sweat great drops of blood there in the Garden of Gethsemane. That was his intense prayer on our behalf. And so we see how personally he entered. He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Well, the Spirit of God is one heart with the Lord Jesus. And so he actually is touched as we're praying, and he takes what we would say would be our groaning, and he actually enters into that. It's hard for me to understand, but he fully empathizes as a person. God is not a force. God is a person. This is beyond our understanding in many ways, but God is a person. He feels deeply. He cares deeply. And so when we pray, he makes intercession with groanings which cannot be uttered. This is it's the depth of... Have you ever prayed and it wasn't words exactly? You just said, Lord, it was, Lord, help me. And you're just, your heart just are opening the depth of how you feel. Well, the Holy Spirit has a full understanding of how we feel. And he brings that to the Father. He takes our burden and he brings it to the Father. He brings our tears. He brings our groanings. He brings our agony. Aren't you glad he's your advocate? He comes on your behalf because of what Jesus did. And he brings it to the Father on behalf of the Son. I can't even begin to explain what I'm even trying to say here, but it's a wonderful thing. He knows the depth of our heart. He knows the prayers we haven't even fully uttered. He is in full understanding. And so we have that glorious fact. John 16:13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He is going to give us what we need. He will give us the truth that we need. He will make the Word of God come alive. He will illumine, as 1 Corinthians 2:3 talks about. And so he shares that burden with us. And let me say this. He shares the burden that we have with us, but he also causes us to have the burden that he has for others. And folks, this is... one of the things, again, we got to be careful, we're not talking about any kind of experience, but it's very important that we take some time when there's a real need in somebody's life to get a hold of the heart of the Spirit of God about that need. And when you do, strength comes into your soul. You begin to realize this is crucial. This person's life's at stake. This person's future is at stake. Lord, you've got to do something. Well, that's exactly what God wants us to get a hold of. This is something that he wants to see done, and he will share that burden with us. And then thirdly, the Spirit prays perfectly for our needs. Verse 27, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. I've already said it a couple times tonight. When the Spirit of God empowers you to pray specifically, and you know it's him, you got it. Does the Father answer the Spirit? Does the Father answer the Son? Obviously he does. But you know, we have unbelief right at that point. The Father and the Spirit are in perfect unity. And now, we do a lot of praying, and it's in our own energy. We do a lot of praying, let's hope so. We do a lot of praying that we can consume it on our own lust. But when we humbly go before God, and it's for others, and we're wanting God's will, and we're searching the Word, and our hearts are open before him, and we're asking for victory over the evil one. By the way, when you open your heart, don't just open your heart. You don't want any kind of spiritual wrong pressure there. You want to be protected by the Lord. But when you do that, God's going to begin to show you his will and begin to convince you of that. John 14:16, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sent him not, seeth him not, excuse me, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." And so we'll have the comforter and the Spirit of truth, and he will bring us into truth so we know exactly how to pray. So we are helped by the entire Trinity. Morris says, "The Spirit then intercedes for the saints, and this intercession is in accordance with God's will. Saints lack the article," the word saints lacks the article, "the force of which will be that they are being prayed for because of their quality as saints, not because they belong to the saints as a group." Paul is giving encouragement to the humblest of God's people. They may be dissatisfied with their praying, but they have a powerful intercessor and one who prays for them in accordance with the will of God himself. So what's so exciting, folks, is that we don't have the power, the energy, we don't have the strength, we don't have the heart to pray, and so therefore we feel like a failure. But when we yield to the Spirit of God and we give ourselves what the Spirit of God leads us to pray, he will then not only strengthen us and give us the heart to keep on persevering, but he will give us the wisdom, and we will begin to realize he is interceding here. We are now in a genuine interaction with God, and you realize that what is happening is not a human exercise. This, you are a vessel that God is using to accomplish his will, and that when the Spirit of God leads you to the Father, they are in perfect unity. And so the Spirit prays according to the Father's will. That's why in Matthew 18:19, this makes sense then. "Again I say unto you, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven." When two people are walking in the Spirit, not something they both agree that they'd like to have, but the Spirit of God has brought them into agreement about it, they agree on earth, it shall be done. Now, folks, we need a big breakthrough in America, in our own church, in our own lives, in getting to the place where we have genuine spiritual agreement, we allow the Spirit of God to enable us, and we see his will done on earth as it is in heaven. It is, he uses frail folk to accomplish his mighty will. The angels can't do it for us. They will be answers to prayer, God's straight power, but it is his plan, it's his economy in this time for God's people to be empowered by the Spirit to claim the things that God wants to accomplish here on this earth. And what a privilege to glorify him by seeing God work in lives and do what you cannot explain otherwise. Whenever you talk about this, you just feel so weak, because it's a subject that is so important. Why don't we pray? Because we can't. Well, we can pray, but I'm talking about this kind of prayer, Mrs. Taylor's prayer, others that you've heard, people that have seen revival come. They couldn't do it either, but they were yielded to the Holy Spirit. Here's the point. You've got to believe God, and you've got to believe that he is honored by that person or that situation that's in your life, receiving what they need from God, having the victory won, and seeing the miracle that needs to be done so that his work can go forward. And that passion that this has to be done or I don't even hardly want to go on, is the kind of passion that breaks through barriers and brings down the forces of the evil one. Satan cannot stand against men and women who have been empowered by the Spirit of God to pray. How did the early church do what they did in a matter of just several decades? It was prayer. You find them praying, praying, praying. They understood that's where it came from. And God shook the Roman Empire. Should not have happened. And you can read many accounts where it didn't make any sense for God to do such a great work, but there were people praying. And God takes the humblest of saints and allows them to have that privilege. You know, to pray through and see God overcome weakness and to see some victories, to be part of that, what a privilege. It's wonderful as a church when we're able to be part of seeing God work. Isn't it going to be a blessing to get to heaven and have fellowship with the Lord? And he starts saying, you know, remember when you guys were praying? Oh, my. You allowed the Spirit to continue to work, and we were rejoicing in heaven. The armies got ready. All that needed to be done was set there at the battlement of heaven, and that the Spirit of God gave you strength to believe God, believe me for that, and I sent the forces to see it happen. And those will be some great moments to get heaven's side. But don't we faint pretty quickly? Circumstances seem so hard. And it does change us, and I'll end with this. One writer from past generation said, you can tell whether a man has been keeping up his life of prayer. His witness is in his face. The face grows in vulgarity, which does not commune with God day by day. It loses beauty. The show of their countenance doth witness against them. There is an invisible sculptor that chisels the face into the upper attitude of the soul. They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Their garments smelled of cassia and all the fragrant flowers that grow about the feet of the King. Not only is God's will able to be done, but we can show forth his glory just in our lives. Folks, we may live in a busy life and a busy world, and there's all kind of things, but God's looking for somebody to become an intercessor, somebody that will let the Spirit of God come in and pray what needs to be prayed. So many more could be reached. So many of our loved ones could be rescued if we would pray.